law. The legal manual quoted above originated with the Shafi'i school. A Hanafi authority, meanwhile, states that the infidels must first be called to embrace Islam because the Prophet so instructed his commanders, directing them to call the infidels to the faith. It adds that Muslims must not wage jihad in order to enrich themselves, but only for the cause of Islam. And when the infidels hear the call to Islam, they will hence perceive that they are attacked for the sake of religion, and not for the sake of taking their property or making slaves of their children, and on this consideration it is possible that they may be induced to agree to the call in order to save themselves from the troubles of war. However, things will go badly for the non-Muslims who choose not to convert or pay the tax. Muslims must make war upon them, because God is the assistant of those who serve Him, and the destroyer of His enemies, the infidels, and it is necessary to implore His aid upon every occasion. The Prophet, moreover, commands us so to do. Ibn Khaldun, 1332-1406, a Maliki jurist as well as a pioneering historian and philosopher who authored one of the first works of historiography, likewise notes that in the Muslim community, the holy war is a religious duty because of the universalism of the Muslim mission and the obligation to convert everybody to Islam either by persuasion or by force. Islam is under obligation to gain power over other nations. And the Hanbali jurist Ibn Taymiyyah, 1263-1328, directed that since lawful warfare is essentially jihad, and since its aim is that the religion is God's entirely and God's word is uppermost, therefore, according to all Muslims, those who stand in the way of this aim must be fought. These are old authorities, but none of these Sunni schools of jurisprudence have ever reformed or rejected these directives. The Shiite schools teach much the same things. Jihad as a spiritual struggle is a secondary concept at best for both, even though it bears the designation greater jihad. Only in our strange age has this quite obvious fact been controverted, with those who pointed out being excoriated as bigots. Nonetheless, the historical record speaks for itself, even more loudly and clearly than it usually does. It is my hope that readers with an open mind and a willingness to consider unwelcome facts, as rare as those people may be nowadays, will see this record for what it is and ponder carefully its implications for the future of free societies around the globe. Robert Spencer, Sherman Oaks, California, January 2018. Chapter 1. I Bring You Slaughter, The Battles of Muhammad, Jihad 622-632. Victorious with Terror. I have been made victorious with terror. Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, died suddenly and unexpectedly, complaining that he felt the way he had several years earlier when he was poisoned. As death approached, the founder of Islam muttered those fateful words that could have been his epitaph, "I have been made victorious with terror." It was a fitting summation of his entire public career. The beginnings of Islam are shrouded in mystery. There are thousands upon thousands of reports, hadith, plural ahadith or hadiths, of the words and deeds of Islam's Prophet Muhammad, but virtually all of them date from the 8th and 9th centuries, over a century and a half after Muhammad's death, which is traditionally set in 632. There is considerable reason to believe that the origins of Islam and the lives of its founding figures are quite different from how they're represented in Islamic sacred history. Yet for all that, those words and deeds of Muhammad as recorded in the Hadith are indeed Islamic sacred history, and thus are believed and taken as fact by millions of Muslims, many of whom act upon those beliefs daily in various ways. Just as Jesus' words and deeds in the Gospels can be known and studied aside from the question of their historicity, so also can Muhammad's. The words and deeds of Islam's founder and the various events that formed Islam as a religious and political force form the foundation of Islamic faith to this day. As Islam is an ever-growing presence in the West, these elements of Islam should be known, regardless of their historical value or lack thereof. Many of the key events of the life of Muhammad and the 100 years following his death, as recorded by early Muslim historians, most likely never happened. But as they are part of